You're listening to Mom Talk, the online community radio show connecting moms across Canada and around the world. Join Helen, Kara, and Tracy, the parenting team from CanadianParents.com, as they talk all things mom. Mom Talk, a podcast for moms, by moms, because we're all in this together.
Hi, this is Tracy, your host today for Work at Home Moms Talk. This is a special podcast series interviewing real Canadian moms who figured out how to earn an income while staying at home. Each mom has their own unique story to tell, and today we're interviewing Elaine Shannon. Elaine Shannon is commonly referred to as the Empress of Inspiration. She's passionate about inspiring other moms to find their true, authentic selves by working through the chaos and clutter of their homes and lives. A hands-on organization expert, her fantastic videos and other credentials can be found at organizingconnection.com. Elaine, this Empress of Inspiration, is the mother of three school-aged children. She lives and works in Rosse, New Brunswick. Welcome, Elaine.
Hi, Tracy. Thanks for connecting with me.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. I'm very anxious to get your story out to our moms out there. Why don't you start at the beginning and tell us how you came to become a work-at-home mom?
Well, it's interesting. I don't think a lot of work-at-home moms probably made the choice at the beginning to do this. And I know that we all have our stories, but mine started 11 years ago on the day I walked out on a 12-year banking career. I was having a heck of a day. I had two babies home under the age of two. I have a husband who works on a ferry, and he's gone every second week. And I was trying to do it all. And I wasn't doing a very good job in any of it.
No.
It was a very, very hard time for me because I had this idea about what my life was going to look like. Up until 30, I had this wonderful career and reaching my sales targets and putting on my suits and going to business meetings. And then I had these two little babies, and they completely threw my plan for a loop.
Ah.
Yes.
I can see how, especially having your husband away like that.
Well, it's absolutely crazy. And yeah. I thought, what am I trying to do here? And right around that time, we had just moved into our new house here in Rosse, and I met these stay-at-home moms who said, hey, we're running a playgroup every Wednesday. So what I did was I joined the playgroup, and at that point I was on maternity leave, and I was loving it. I was loving getting together with all these other women and talking about child issues and feeding them and raising your kids, and I felt so connected to these women. Then I went back from maternity leave, and I thought, wait, there's something wrong here. All of a sudden my plan isn't quite working out as I expected it to do. I was really confused. I thought, what do I do now? One day, I had just had enough, and I literally walked out in the middle of a shift.
Is that right?
Yes. And it wasn't pretty. I ended up on the floor in the bathroom in the bank crying.
Aww.
One of the girls came down to find me, and she handed me my coat and my purse, and she said, you know what, Elaine, go home. You'll feel better tomorrow. And I never went back. And that poor girl, every time I see her, she said, oh, after that, Elaine, I never told anybody that again because you didn't come back. And she said, we loved having you here. And you know what? I loved my work, and I was so good at it, but I couldn't do both.
No.
I couldn't do both the way that was good for Elaine.
Yeah.
And that would work for Elaine, and that made me happy. And I guess at that point when I left the bank that day, I was so unhappy that I couldn't do it anymore.
Oh.
And it was brave. It was bold.
It
I didn't
was.
Even tell my husband.
Wow.
He didn't know till he got home that day.
Oh.
And he said, what are you doing, honey? And I said, I can't do this anymore. I just can't. And so that was the beginning of this amazing journey.
Okay. So tell us, what happened next?
So what happened next was, first I had to figure out, okay, what's going on here? Why am I feeling this way? I was so confused. I was distraught. I was depressed. I think I spent 4 months sitting on a couch looking at my kids going, what did I do?
Yeah.
Because now I'm home. I don't know what to do with them all the time because somebody else was doing all that. So there I was sitting there going, okay. And one morning I woke up and I said, that's it. I need to take control of my life. I need to make choices that are in the best interest of my husband, my children, and myself. I just pulled myself up out of it and I started joining groups. So my kids joined a playgroup, and the next thing you know, I was the vice president of the playgroup. I got really involved with my kids and my community, and I loved it. I loved it so much that we went and had a third baby. because I wasn't busy enough. He's the little guy that just kind of fit in. You know, he was 3 years after the other two, and he was like, okay, Eric, you got to fit in. We're all busy, and you need to be busy with us. So we have this wonderful, gregarious little guy who he literally does. He just fits in.
The love child.
He is, and we all loved him. We loved bathing him. We loved doing everything with him. And he is the funniest kid, and he'll say, you know, Mom, I'm the class clown. I said, I don't think that's something you need to be telling your mother. But he is. He's a joy. And I'm thinking, if I hadn't have made that decision that day to walk out of the bank, would we have had Eric? Probably not.
Yes.
So here we have this wonderful family, my husband, who is away every second week, which is a challenge in itself, and these three kids. Part of all that, and looking back, I know that part of the decisions that I had made in the hard time was that I had postpartum depression quite bad after my second child. He cried. From the time he entered the world, he cried. And he cried and cried. Come to find out, 5 years later, after I kept saying to doctors, there's something going on. I had a baby before him. She didn't cry like this. There is something wrong. We found out there was all kinds of stuff going on with Adam.
Oh.
But it took that mother's instinct of pushing and pushing and pushing that this little guy has sensory needs that weren't being met.
Mm-hmm.
And they would call it Asperger's syndrome, which is what he was diagnosed with. But it wasn't until he hit school. So here I was with these three kids, my husband saying, well, they're all going to be going to school soon. What are you going to do next? And just the thought of going back to work gave me a huge anxiety attack.
Yeah.
I thought, I can't do this. I can't be away from these kids, and they need me, especially my middle guy. He needs that stability. He needs that routine and everything. So I started looking online. Isn't that what we all do?
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, I got to do something, because I was panicked. What am I going to do next? What's the next chapter in my life? You know, I just stayed home and, you know, did the whole stay-at-home mummy, play groups, the whole bit. But I couldn't do that after the kids were gone. I had to find something to fill that void for me because I love people. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't imagine sitting home all day waiting for them to get home and having nothing in between.
Right.
So I went to the University of Google and typed in a bunch of things, and somebody said one day, you know what, Elaine, you're really organized. You love organizing. You love creating systems. So I typed the word organizing in. Well, I mean, this was back in 2002, and the sites that came up, I couldn't believe it. I thought, oh, there's people like me.
So you had already been a fanatic sort of organizer.
I wouldn't say a fanatic. It's interesting. 85% of the population is naturally disorganized. There's about 15% that is organized, which would be like myself. But I wasn't super organized. Like, my husband and I got 5 clocks for our wedding gifts because we were the tardy twins. We were late for everything.
Ah.
Yeah. So I had to learn some of these skills because of my middle guy. He needed that structure. He needed to know what time we were leaving. He needed to know what time we were arriving.
Mm-hmm.
So because of him, I had to learn some of these skills, which is great because a lot of people say, oh, Elaine, you're so organized. You come by it naturally. I could never learn that. Well, the truth of the matter is you can. It's not an innate skill for a lot of people.
I don't know if I believe you, but continue.
Well, you know what? I've worked with people for the last 6 years, and I have helped people form habits, and that's what it is. It's creating a habit.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to challenge you on that, Tracy. We're going to get down to the bottom of that one at some point. But you can break old habits and you can form new habits. So I was forming new habits. I had to because of my children.
Right.
And especially my middle guy who had all these sensory needs and needed to know what was going on. Back to the, oh my gosh, I found a whole bunch of people who are just like me. What am I going to do with this now, right?
Mm-hmm.
I thought, okay, well, there's hope. There's hope that I can actually do it all. Wait, I can work from home. I can be with my kids. I can be there when my husband gets home from his week away because I don't see him for 7 days.
Mm.
And I thought, if he comes home for his 7 days and I'm at work, then we basically have no life together.
Right.
We're cohabitating in the same house. And at that point, I sat him down and I said, we need to make some choices.
Yeah.
And some hard choices. It's a lifestyle choice,
mm-hmm.
as we know, being a work-at-home mom. It's a lifestyle choice. And we need to make a choice. And I don't think he was overly thrilled about it, but he grew up with a mom that was there, and he wanted that for our kids.
Yes.
So we thought, okay, let's make the sacrifices, let's make the choices, and let's go for it. So I did, and I started my first business over 5 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, and I went to my first organizing conference in Toronto, and it was about 4 months after I started my business, I showed up at this conference, and I go, oh, it's going to be the most organized conference ever, and these women are going to be, like, perfect, and they're going to be so organized, and they're going to realize that I'm a big fraud, and I'm just this crazy mom who is trying to find a way to stay at home with her kids. And the first session I went to, this girl stood up at the front of the room, and she said, and here we are, geeks with label makers. And I went, I'm home. And that's what I found, was a group of women who always kind of felt like me, a little outside, right? We were sort of geeky in a fun way.
Yes.
And we liked to do what we did, and we were sort of very particular, almost OCD-ish about how we live our life.
Mm-hmm.
And I found a place where people said, you know, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay to be totally you, totally authentic, and you can live your life that way.
Nice.
It's really nice. So over the last 6 years, it's been a complete progression of where I thought I was going to be to where I am now. I have this quote that I picked out because I wanted to tell you this. It really means a lot to me, and I've used it so many times. It's by Joseph Campbell, and it says, we must be willing to get rid of the life we've planned so as to have the life that is waiting for us.
Nice.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, that is.
And whenever I think, oh, what did I do?
Yeah.
What have I gotten myself into? I look at that because somebody greater than me has a plan, and I'm here to fulfill it.
Very nice. So tell us, what is a regular day like for you, and what do you do with your business?
Like okay. Well, my regular day usually starts at 6. I think I should have been a farmer because I'm up with the sun, and I go to bed when the sun goes down. I get up and I journal a little bit. I've started doing that recently, and I love it. I need that time for me, and that's the best time when the house is quiet and everybody is still in bed, tucked in, and they're not running around. It gives me great headspace to sit and think about and intend what my day is going to look like. So it's a really great starting point for my day. And then I go in after that and I clear out all the emails that came in late in the day, because some people like to work late. So all those people who are late people that send me emails after I'm done, I go in and clear that out. I have my work prepared for the day, and I usually start at my top five. I have like a top five list that I have usually on my desk all the time, and I start working away at that. And the thing on top is number one that has to get done. So I start at those things, and I work until, okay, now it's 7 o'clock, and the kids have to get up for school. Now it's summertime, so that's going to change a bit. But I get the kids up, get them off and ready for school, and I come back, and at 8:30, I'm back at my desk again to continue. And I work all morning. Working away at the top five, going at my plan.
Top five is in the top five things that you need to accomplish.
Yes. And I always have that top five. And I usually build the top five the week before on a Friday. So and that top five is actually
Does it change day to day? Or is it your weekly?
No, these are the priority. These are the goals that I've set from my annual goals, my quarterly goals, and my monthly goals, which feed into my weekly goals.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Yeah. This is how I'm able to do all this. I teach other people how to do this because it is possible to be focused like that. Because for me, the goal and the outcome is that at 12 o'clock when I stop to have lunch, I do a little bit of reading after that. I love to read. And then at 2 o'clock, I go for a walk.
Wow.
And that's sort of the break in my day. That's like, okay, Elaine, you're done your work, and now you're getting into kid mode.
See, I could never, ever let myself read during the day for pleasure. I just couldn't. I just never, ever do. I won't let myself read until the evening after everything's finished.
Because you're thinking that reading is not part of your work?
Or yeah. It's too much. It's just too pleasurable.
It's too pleasurable. And I've decided in my life that I love to read. And when I read, it taps into my creativity. Because if I read something, I go, wait, that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, I'm running over and I'm jotting that thing down that inspired me. And that becomes part of feeding into the goals. It really helps. And women that work at home, if you look at the majority of us, we are creative beings.
Yeah.
We've taken something, for instance, my hands-on organizing that I started 5 years ago. Now I've actually produced home organizing videos that we sell on our website. And that is all part of that creative thing. And somebody might say, an organizer being creative, like how linear left brain thinking could you be as an organizer? But I'm not. I'm very right brain creative. Okay. And most of my work, when I do hands-on work, it is with women. mm-hmm. entrepreneurs mm-hmm. who are at home who say, you know what, I want that. I want to mm-hmm. have that very harmonious, that all of a sudden your work is feeding into your pleasure, which feeds back into your work, which feeds into your mm-hmm. pleasure. And it's like this wonderful, beautiful circle.
Mm-hmm.
That everything that you do is an extension of what you do.
Yeah, I do get a lot of pleasure from my work.
Yeah.
Like I love my
work. Or you wouldn't be doing it. You're
right.
passionate about
right.
it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, when the times are tough, and as work-at-home moms, we know that, you know, ideally my day ends at 2, and then the kids come home and yada, yada, yada. But then after they're in bed, the computer comes back on mm-hmm. sometimes,
mm-hmm.
and I might be working till 12 because some of the people that I need to contact are in different time zones.
Mm-hmm.
So the reality is if I wasn't excited and passionate about what I do, the computer would never go back on. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Or I wouldn't be traveling to do things. I mean, sometimes it isn't glamorous and wonderful,
mm-hmm.
but because you love it so much, you don't mind that it isn't glamorous and wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And so other people look at our work-at-home mom lives and they go, I can't even imagine how you do that.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't imagine doing anything else.
Right.
Because the goal for me is that I'm here for my kids, and my daughter, who is 13, has said to me numerous times, Mom, I am so glad you're here after school because I need to talk.
Yeah, I always had a rocking chair in my office, and each child usually throughout the years came home at different times for different reasons. That rocking chair got hours of use, and they would sit there and talk about their day. And it's so important that they have someone that really connects with them to go over all those really important things that happened to them.
Yes. And aren't you glad it's us?
Yeah.
So for me, when I look at my annual goals, that's part of it.
Yeah.
Being that person in the kitchen making supper while the kids are doing homework and debriefing their day.
Yeah.
That's the end goal. So when
yeah.
I look at that and there's that goal, that's number one, then all of the other goals that I do every day, like every quarter, every week, every month, and it all feeds into that.
Right.
So in order to do that, to be that person that stays at home, I want to have an income so that we can have the extra stuff. Because my husband covers the house stuff, but what I make is the extra stuff.
Yeah.
And so in order to have that lifestyle, then I have to work and find a way to earn an income using my creativity and working around them. So it's all a very intricate dance,
uh-huh.
and we would do it every day.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Yeah.
It gets us there. And sometimes we lose sight of that because of stress, because of stuff that comes up, and maybe you have a bad month and the income isn't coming in. So it's always keeping that goal in mind.
Right. So tell us about the rest of your day.
The rest of my day, well, it's a lot of online stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's researching. I love researching.
Mm-hmm.
I love looking for new stuff to put in our e-books, you know, for a blog that I'm going to start writing and for more videos to produce. Because I want people to have the best content that I can find for them
mm-hmm.
and stuff that's actually usable. I read a ton of books and I think, wow, you could have left out all 200 pages except that one
mm-hmm.
because that one page had the meat in it.
Yeah.
And I like to pull out the meat
yeah.
and deliver it to people.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
They don't need to read the whole book.
No.
I just need to tell them that one thing on page 49 that they needed to know.
Yeah.
So I like to pull out that thing. So that you can use it in your life, that it's useful and functional and all those things. I'm also talking to people constantly, us connecting,
yes.
right,
yes.
through Kara.
Yes.
I mean, and that whole thing was just amazing how it unfolded. And actually, Kara worked with my husband over at the boat.
I know.
I just think it's wonderful
yeah.
how everybody, how all of this stuff, when you actually pay attention in your life,
yeah.
how things just come to you.
So let's talk about how we connected. It started with Kara being up in the middle of the night cleaning.
Poor Kara.
And twittering, and you were up early in the morning.
I was up at my 6, right?
Yeah.
Up at 6 o'clock.
And
yeah.
you caught her Twitter.
Yeah.
And that's how you came to me, was through Twitter in the wee hours of the morning because
yes.
you both happened to be awake and concerned about being organized.
Yes.
And then Kara passed your name on to me.
I just think it's brilliant. And I
yeah.
use Nearby Tweets, which is even getting more technical. So I was on Nearby Tweets.
Oh.
Yes. Because I want to connect with people who are in my local area.
Yeah.
In addition to people who are in my country and then people who are in the world who are interested in what I do.
Yeah.
And I thought, I wonder who's tweeting at this hour of the morning in, you know, little old St. John, New Brunswick.
Yeah.
And I thought, Kara, wait, oh, let's go in. And I thought, the poor girl was up all night getting her house ready. So I thought, this is awful. I need to help her.
Yeah.
Which goes back to my whole thing, why I do what I do. It's take the thing that you're good at and that you love and share it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, oh, and that's how you and I ended up having this conversation today.
Right.
Which I think is brilliant.
I know.
I love
I
know. I love being able to tell these stories because people will say, oh, well, that would never happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it can.
Yeah.
You just have to be open and aware and pay attention.
Yeah.
And back to my day, the other part of my day sometimes is out organizing clients.
Uh-huh.
And for me, that's the part that keeps me connected. Because
yeah.
if I stopped organizing clients and I was working on product and staying home all day, I'd lose out on the person at the other end saying, you know what, this is a real struggle for me.
Right. So it's your hands-on part
right.
of it. Yeah.
And if I'm hands-on and this person is saying, this is a struggle for me, well, how many other women are having that same struggle? And then what can I create as a product so that it can help more than one? So instead of it being me working one-on-one, it's one on many.
Yes.
So it just it feeds right into that whole creation and the creativity
yeah.
that happens with product development.
So do you ever find yourself working at night, going out of the house at night, or is that a no-no?
That is a no-no, and I have some very clear boundaries that I had to set up over the years. Everything I've done has been through trial and error. I have a one-page confidentiality agreement I do with my clients, and it's all come about because every different client has brought up a different situation, you know, with regards to, like, getting rid of things and not being able to bring them back and stuff like that. But for me, my evening time is my sacred family time and my
uh-huh.
weekends.
Uh-huh.
If I work on the weekends or at night, it's on the computer. I don't leave the house.
No.
So my client time is usually in the morning because people are fresh in the morning.
Yeah.
They have lots of energy,
yeah.
and they're prepared because organizing work is physically and mentally exhausting
yeah.
for the person that's on the organizing end. So I can go in there, and I'm working with somebody who is prepared, and we work no more than 3 hours because I think at that point they just want me out of their face.
Yeah.
because I've pushed them enough,
yeah.
you know, on the do you need this, do you love this, you know, let's move on. And it's quite an interesting process. That is part of my week as well, and I really like to stay connected with people,
uh-huh.
which is the whole reason for all of the other stuff. So that's sort of how my week flows, and I do have an office in my house that has been everything from a spare bedroom to a playroom, and now it's my office slash the family computer room,
uh-huh.
so I can keep an eye on what the children are doing on the computer.
Yeah.
Yes. And they're pretty good about that, and they know that if, you know, mommy has a phone call that she has to make, they'll vacate the room and go do something else.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so they're very respectful of my time.
That's great. How do you find others perceive what you do, your friends and family? Are you taken seriously?
Oh, this is hilarious. What did my father say to me the other day? I was showing him hard copies of our DVDs. He goes, so is that what you're doing all day when you're at home and you say you're working? I said, oh, Dad, you're so funny. Because they do. They come in and they don't understand that if I'm in my office and I'm on the phone or I'm researching something that it's actually work. Because my parents are used to going out and you go into an office and you work for somebody and then you come home.
Yes.
For other people, it's fun. And my friends will say, oh, call Elaine. You know, she's always home. She can go for coffee.
yeah, I know
yeah.
that one.
So I've had to sort of set up some boundaries with people.
Yeah.
Like, Mom and Dad now call before they come in. As you know, once you get into that research mode, you need to research and writing. You need to just stay at it.
Yes.
And when you get interrupted, you lose the flow.
Right.
My husband, he sees what I do, and he's excited, but he's a little scared, too.
Yeah.
Because he's used to going out and working for somebody else and punching a time clock. And, you know, when I keep saying that the internet is a great place, I mean, it has so many resources for people that we need to be part of that.
Yes.
And it's a great place to share.
Yes.
I think people are starting to get it with Facebook and with social media. I think people are getting that the internet is a big part of where we're going. And for the children, I mean, I've been teaching my kids about different things, that the way they work will be completely different
mm-hmm.
from the way my parents worked and the way I'm working.
Mm-hmm.
And I want them to be prepared for it.
Exactly.
So I'm almost talking to them about what sort of online business could you create?
Good for you.
And getting the wheels turning for them.
Yeah. And it could quite possibly just be in their blood because they see what you're doing and they'll just do it. Like,
right.
you'll be surprised because my children are older than yours and I've seen it happen to them. The entrepreneurial spirit is just in them, and they go out and they just create. It's amazing because so many people feel that the only way to make a living is to apply for jobs.
Right.
And work for a company or a corporation. But that's just a very small part of how you can actually make money and support your
right.
family.
And live your life. And that, I think what they see, too, is freedom.
Mm-hmm.
They see that mm-hmm. we went to Florida for 2 weeks. Mommy had a conference, and she took everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And we drove down, and it was the best two-week trip ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, these are the things that you can do. Because if I was working for somebody else or Dad didn't have some flexibility, that we wouldn't be able to go.
No.
I can take trips at different times of the year when I need to.
Yeah.
You know, I can sort of go and do what I need to do to rejuice my battery
mm-hmm.
so that I can continue on doing the work that I do and that I love.
Mm-hmm. So tell me, what do you do now? Most of the traveling that you do is work related.
I go to a lot of conferences.
Uh huh. So other than that, what do you do for yourself? Like you take time away from everything and just do things to keep yourself rejuvenated? Do you have a network of friends, or how do you attack that area of your life?
Well, for me, after going through what I did when I left the bank
mm-hmm.
and suffering postpartum depression, over the years I've learned that self-care is huge. Mm-hmm. It is most important, because if you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of anybody else in your life.
Right.
And my walking every day at 2, or now I've got to change it because the kids are home. I've adjusted it. I'm going to do morning and then evening walks to sort of mm-hmm. bookend my day.
Mm-hmm.
I need that. That walk is when I sort of debrief. I have my creative thinking. I actually sometimes carry my BlackBerry because I get out halfway and there's a thought and I talk into it
mm-hmm.
and I record my thoughts and then off I go. And that's sort of that daily thing. But on an overall thing, because my husband does work away every second week, I find about every 6 months, if I don't get away, I will implode,
mm-hmm.
literally, because I'm here 7 days straight with the kids, dealing with whatever comes our way, running the business and handling our lives. And usually around spring, March, April, and then September, I need to get away.
Mm-hmm.
So my next trip that I have planned is in September. I'm going up to visit a friend that lives outside of Toronto, and she's another organizer. And I'm telling you, organizers are the most friendly people in the world, and we stay, it's like a hostel. You can just go anywhere in the world and stay with organizers as an organizer. Last year I went to Africa for 2 weeks and stayed with a bunch of organizers.
Is that right?
Yes. I spoke at their conference, and for 2 weeks I didn't have to worry about a thing.
Wow.
It was the most wonderful, warm experience. So, again, this September, off I'm going to North Bay to stay with a friend. We talk at least once a week on the phone. I met her 5 years ago at a conference in San Diego, and we instantly clicked. We just love each other. And so in September, I'm going to fly up. We're going to stay together for 5 days, and we're just going to have a great time. She lives on a lake, and we're going to kayak, and she's going to feed me vegan food for a week, and I'll see what that's like. And just enjoy, so that when I come back after that, so I've had my 11 weeks home with the kids over the summer
mm-hmm.
and trying to manage that in the business. Now I'm ready for September, because for me, September is New Year. That's the beginning of the school year. And I think for most moms, like, January's not the new year, it's September. That's when the new beginnings happen, right?
Right.
And I need to be prepared and have lots of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And my battery's just totally juiced up
mm-hmm.
so that I can go through that and then have the most wonderful fall, which will bring me again then to after the new year, when I'll be planning something else to juice my batteries again. I really feel that women need to do that. And it doesn't have to be 5 days with your friend outside of Toronto. It could be a weekend at a friend's cottage, or a day. Go away mm-hmm. for a day, but you need that headspace.
Mm-hmm.
You need to take care of yourself.
Helene, what is the best business advice you've received?
Well, it's the best one I've received that I've not actually followed all of the time, and this is something that I need to work on in my life, but to keep on top of your business bookkeeping,
uh-huh.
to always know financially what's going on in your business.
Yes.
And the other one is to always sign your own checks, which I do. But I've always had a bookkeeper from day one, because for me, I'm a great delegator. I'll delegate anything that I don't think I'm 85-95% at doing, I'll give to somebody else. I don't have a problem with that, because I'm sure that there's a lot of people who can do things better than I can. And I've always had somebody else do my bookkeeping, but now I'm taking a more active role in that, because with the economy the way it is, And with me working more online and having all those different business models that I'm working on, I really need to stay on top of all that, you know, meaning the expenses. Mm-hmm. Like, where can you trim a few dollars here? Mm-hmm. And I work with a lot of clients that I'm always looking at, like, do you need to buy the bottle of water? You know, how much money are you spending on that? Mm-hmm. That's money flowing out of your business. Although you can expense it out, it's still flowing out.
Yeah.
The bookkeeping, perhaps, like getting somebody to actually enter it, but you need to be right on top of it.
Right.
You need to be looking at your receipts and analyzing to see that, is there somewhere else I can squeeze out a dollar?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really important.
Definitely. Well, I'd like to thank you very much for joining us today, Elaine. It's been a pleasure getting to know you, and I look forward to spending more time with you. And for our listeners at home, if you'd like to learn more about Elaine, go to organizingconnection.com.
Well, thank you, Tracy. It has been a pleasure for me, and as you know, I could probably talk for days about all this stuff. So thank you for giving me this period of time to share.
Oh, you're very welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.